So to get started, Deirdre, could you please tell us, what does STEM mean?
STEM literally is an acronym. So it stands for science, technology, engineering, and maths. And then also sometimes it can be more broadly referred to as STEAM. So STEAM, and the A refers to art. And we quite like actually the broader definition of it, because it shows how the sciences can be connected up with the more creative executions. But generally in everyday life, it's referred to as STEM.
One thing about school is that it's all like, it's either science or it's the arts, and it's really separated. But I feel like when you go out into the work world, everything's sort of linked and there isn't really a clear distinction between the two. It's all very interdisciplinary.
Deirdre, earlier this year, Catherine Birbal-Singh, the government's social mobility commissioner and a head teacher of a school in Northwest London, said that fewer girls choose physics because girls don't like hard maths.
We make sweeping statements like that because we're looking at data through a rear view mirror.
To put a bit of a caveat to it, she did clarify this in an article in The Telegraph. She did say that this is to do with her school that she was referring to. But personally, I think as a social mobility commissioner and as just a head teacher in general, I think it was a bit irresponsible of her to say that in the press.
And I think it also points to the importance of data interpretation. So I think if you look at the data, there are probably less girls studying hard maths, but that's as a consequence of the ecosystem that surrounds those girls, right? So if we put those same girls into a different ecosystem with incredible role models and relatable teachers.
School, like Suzanne went to.
Yeah, or for many different ways, then actually we may see a different outcome. So by looking at that data, we're measuring the outcome of the current ecosystem. Should we change that ecosystem? You know, all of our hunch is that that data would look entirely different.
I mean, you see, if you look across academia, even outside STEM, you see that at a graduate level, actually women are slightly overrepresented, about 53%. But once you get to PhD, there's a severe drop off and men are now 72% of filling those posts. STEM is similar. But once you get to those subjects we were talking about earlier with engineering and physics and maths, it's much, much lower. Therefore, it becomes very difficult. You see that as well with literature published and citations and so on appear to be a lot more biased towards men. So if we look at some of the challenges they're facing, perhaps you'd find this in other careers as well. But if you look at research that shows that they find it very difficult in senior positions, there are often men. Therefore, it can be harder to get funding if women are trying to get funding. And people talk, some of those women talk about favoritism, victimization. They say they're not understood in terms of their needs for working pattern, work hours and so on. So definitely challenges there, which I think makes it harder.
It's almost like the dichotomy between how people expect experience or knowledge versus approachability. Maybe there's a little bit of an assumption that men know more.
I mean, there's plenty of evidence from many different sources that having women in STEM has a broader positive impact across all of society. So even if you look in the business fields, companies that have more women on their boards or have a better representation of women at the higher senior level, be they technology companies or other companies, they outperform companies who don't. So the diversity that they've got and having more female representation right through business is a win-win.
And we know that, you know, girls in STEM in particularly is a huge leaky bucket. And that's the first big hole, because if you're not encouraged, if you don't see yourself there, if you feel like it's not you for one reason or another, that's the first forced decision-making point where we lose. And we know for a fact that that's one of the biggest attrition points. And that's why we feel this podcast is incredibly important.
You know, it's just really great to be able to make that connection and let the girls have access to people who can hopefully inspire them. And hopefully as well, if they're able to then talk about them also with their parents. Their parents may not, maybe don't have those same role models in their circles, maybe don't know people who've entered those careers, women who've entered those careers. And so it just makes it all a little bit more tangible for them, a little bit more human for them.
And we've seen the advantage of the huge variety of science careers there are out there, and also how a science continuing to take science at an A level gives you skills that you can use very, very broadly. And I think through the podcast series, a lot of the mentors that we've been interviewing, they're not necessarily traditional scientists, as you might imagine. They span a huge number of different careers, and it's just great for girls to be able to see that and have that in mind when they think about their choices.